Hormones play a critical role in our bodily functions, and there are many serious consequences when we lack the right balance of them. Well, joining me this morning with what you should know about one such hormonal insufficiency is Dr. Roberto Izquierdo. He's professor of medicine and pediatrics and the division chief of pediatric endocrine and diabetes for Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Izquierdo.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Very nice to have you. So you're here to tell us about the adrenal glands and what happens when they don't produce enough of certain hormones, and often called adrenal insufficiency, right? Tell us about that.
Well, the adrenal glands are two small glands which sit on top of the kidneys, and they make certain very important hormones. The outer layer makes two specific hormones, plus others, but the main ones are cortisol, which is a steroid, which helps with many bodily functions or metabolism to function normally. It also helps maintain the blood pressure and body functioning normally during times of illness. The second major hormone is called aldosterone, and that's a hormone that regulates salt and water in our bloodstream and in our body. And the irregularities of that hormone can lead to high blood pressure or low blood pressure. So it's also a very important hormone.
So basically, the adrenal glands produce two very important hormones to regulate all of our bodily functions.
That's right. And then it also produces certain other hormones that are weak androgens, and they're produced both in women and men. And those hormones are important in the development of pubic hair and axillary hair.
Secondary sex characteristics.
Secondary sex characteristics.
So these hormones are crucial to our overall functioning.
That's right. Yeah.
And this is when you have primary, when the adrenal glands themselves are not functioning. Are there other types of insufficiency, adrenal insufficiency?
There's other types. There's secondary adrenal insufficiency.
What does that mean?
The adrenals are sort of under the guidance or control of the pituitary gland. The pituitary gland is a small size gland, the size of a pea, that extends from the base of the brain, and that it produces six different hormones. And the pituitary sometimes is called the master gland, and one of the hormones is called ACTH, and ACTH flows through the blood and signals to the adrenal glands how much cortisol to produce.
So in other words, that's the master gland. Pituitary is the master that tells the adrenals whether they should make their hormones or not. So you can have it either by the adrenal glands not functioning or the pituitary having a problem and telling the adrenal glands not to function.
That's right.
Not telling it to function.
That's right.
One or the other. So give us a couple of other examples. I had come up with looking over some things that there are also issues about the immune system that are affected if you don't produce enough cortisol, for example.
Well, without cortisol, you could you develop a prolonged illness, which leads to fatigue and weight loss.
All kinds of issues.
And that could lead to an impaired immune system.
So what happens, really? How do you know? I mean, what are the symptoms, most common symptoms, if you have this insufficiency going on? How would someone have any clue that they might have adrenal insufficiency?
Yeah, for both primary and secondary adrenal insufficiency, you develop fatigue. In particular, for primary adrenal insufficiency, you also develop electrolyte imbalance, which means that your salt concentration in the body drops.
You might have low blood pressure as a result?
You may develop low blood pressure. You may become dehydrated. Many of these patients have also weight loss, and they crave salt. This is for the primary. Some of them, their skin becomes darkened and they develop a very nice tan.
So they get hyperpigmented on their skin.
Yeah.
So are those clues? In other words, if you were having any of these symptoms, or these clues? Because it seems to me something like fatigue can be caused by thousands of different things.
Yes.
A bad night's sleep, for example.
Yes.
So how would, you know, how would someone be able to tune in to the fact that there's something more going on? Yeah.
Well, I think if you do have chronic fatigue, that's otherwise the cause
unexplained.
Of unexplained, you should consider this diagnosis, especially if it's associated with weight loss.
Oh, so those two things together.
Yeah.
And many times I've actually run across this on the internet. They talk about the cause of fatigue being something called adrenal fatigue.
Yeah.
Is there any truth to that?
There's no scientific evidence that adrenal fatigue
exists.
So it's a notion that's espoused by some that chronic stress, physical or emotional, can lead to some sort of debilitation of the adrenal gland where they don't produce enough hormone. However, as compared to adrenal insufficiency, in adrenal insufficiency, you could actually measure the cortisol levels to be low.
So what you're saying is that sometimes fatigue can be blamed because in many cases, if you do have a problem with the adrenal glands, it does cause fatigue.
That's right.
So sometimes when people experience fatigue, they may think that it's because of their adrenals, but there's no scientific underpinning or proof of
that's
that.
That's right.
Okay, so that's kind of a myth.
Right, it's a myth.
And
the treatment for adrenal fatigue may be bad for you because you may be given steroids in form of pills, which then suppresses your own production of steroids.
So it's actually
detrimental
treatment.
Yes.
Interesting. So who are the kinds of people who get this?
Well,
what ages, for example?
Actually, adrenal insufficiency can develop at any age.
At any age.
The more common one is secondary, so it's damage to the pituitary gland either through surgery or tumor. In some situations, when you administer steroids for other reasons, corticosteroids, like to treat rheumatoid arthritis or asthma, you could suppress your own endogenous production of cortisol. And when you stop those steroids for those diseases, then you have a period of adrenal insufficiency until your own body.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah,
so, in other
wakes
words,
up and produces.
In trying to treat, some other disease entities.
Yeah.
Some other problems, like, as you said, rheumatoid arthritis, you might be giving a steroid externally or by mouth or what have you, and that suppresses your own body's ability to produce, and then you end up with adrenal insufficiency.
That's right.
But that's not permanent.
No,
that's
not transitory. That's transitory. Yeah.
Now,
very
interesting.
The other causes of primary adrenal insufficiency include autoimmune diseases, so your own body's defenses attacks the adrenal and causes adrenal insufficiency.
I'm going to ask you to hold that thought because I want to get back and talk about that in more detail. And we're going to have to take a really short break. So everyone, stay right there. We'll be right back with more from Dr. Izquierdo right after these messages. Welcome back to HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen, along with Dr. Roberto Izquierdo. And we're talking about adrenal insufficiency and what you need to know about it. So before the break, we were talking about all the different symptoms that come of it. The fact is that fatigue and weight loss are two of the most prominent ones, unexplained for any other reasons. And it can really wreak havoc with your body. Is it ever potentially lethal? I mean, can it ever cause death?
It can cause death. If you have adrenal insufficiency and you don't take your medicines or it goes unrecognized and you get an infection or some sort of involving some sort of trauma, this could lead to a severe deficiency of the hormone because normally we produce more cortisol during physical stress. And as such, you could develop an adrenal crisis, which is in which your blood pressure drops and you go into shock. And you also develop electrolyte abnormalities with very low sodium and high potassium. And it's a medical emergency.
So it is a medical. It can be very serious.
Yeah, people can die from it.
So what do you recommend then if people suspect they have any of these symptoms that are otherwise unexplained? They should probably seek medical advice.
See their medical provider, and the medical provider should do some testing, which includes electrolytes to check the sodium and potassium, which can be off in this condition, and also checking out cortisol level early in the morning. If the cortisol level early in the morning is very low, then it's consistent with the diagnosis of adrenal insufficiency. However, if the cortisol level is in the normal range, you could still have it. And then what we do is it's called a cortisone stimulation test, in which we draw a blood test measuring cortisol and aldosterone, then give a cortisone, which is synthetic ACTH, to stimulate the adrenal gland. And then we check the cortisol levels 30 minutes and 60 minutes afterwards to see if there's a response.
So that test basically first assesses in your blood whether you reduced cortisol and aldosterone, which are the two hormones that you need,
right,
that the adrenals produce.
Yes.
And then you give some treatment, which is the ACTH, and you see if it boosts it.
That's right.
Which will give you an indication that there really is some imbalance,
yes,
there. It's interesting. So, we were saying earlier that it can happen to anyone and for various reasons, mm-hmm, throughout life. Are there genetic predispositions to this?
There's also genetic predispositions. There's a form that's detected at birth, in which it's part of the newborn screen, called congenital adrenal hyperplasia, where a child inherits two abnormal genes from an abnormal gene from each parent.
Would the parents already know they had this problem, or is it the kind of thing where it's recessive and they may not have known it?
The condition is recessive, so the parents have no symptoms, but the symptoms develop in
when they join together and the new baby has it.
Yeah.
So that's a genetic.
Yeah.
That's a genetic piece of it. Are there other causes for it?
Yeah. Other causes include adrenal hemorrhage, in which there's sort of a hemorrhage within the adrenal gland, which destroys it. And that sometimes can be seen in people that are taking anticoagulants, such as warfarin.
So if they're taking things that are blood thinners for, mm-hmm, other reasons, it could affect the adrenals.
That's right. And then the other possibility is inflammation. So patients around the world, patients who develop tuberculosis can develop adrenal insufficiency. And
is that because the infection destroys the adrenal glands,
right,
in the process?
Yeah, the organism harbors in there. And patients who have HIV can develop also adrenal insufficiency due to some viral illness.
How about autoimmune diseases?
Yeah, autoimmune is the most common form that we see here in this country. And it's the immune cells, something triggers the immune cells to attack the adrenal gland cortex, and that destruction then leads to adrenal insufficiency.
I am just flabbergasted. In the last several months of this show, we've interviewed lots of different people on lots of different topics, and the immune system seems to be a common thread throughout all of these interviews, either the immune system going awry with some autoimmune reaction, or the immune system being harnessed to potentially help, perhaps, in the treatment of cancer and that type of thing. So the immune system really is a key to an awful lot of our survival.
Yeah, and this brings another point that if you have adrenal insufficiency, just like type 1 diabetes, which is an autoimmune disease, we also need to check for other autoimmune diseases every so often, because they may cluster together. So we got to check for pernicious anemia, which is due to vitamin B12 deficiency, check for diabetes, check for thyroid disease. So all these other conditions are at higher risk. A person with adrenal insufficiency at a higher risk of developing.
So in other words, that's very interesting also. What you're suggesting is that there really is a tendency or predisposition that someone potentially inherits toward autoimmune diseases.
That's right.
And any of these diseases can occur, and they seem to cluster. So someone might have more than one.
More than one. So.
Very, very interesting. So how do you treat it?
Well, adrenal insufficiency, initially, if the patient presents in crisis, like we talked about, then we give the hydrocortisone, which is cortisol, and we give it through the vein at very large doses. And we also give fluids in the form of normal saline, which is salt water, and also glucose, because these patients have a predisposition to low blood sugar. So after that initial acute phase, then the patients can take tablets, hydrocortisone tablets, which is cortisol, and usually that's, you have to take those pills twice a day. And then you also take another pill called fludrocortisone, which is similar to aldosterone, and that helps maintain your blood pressure and your salt levels in your body.
So you're basically supplementing these,
yes,
these hormones that the body is no longer producing adequately.
That's right.
But you mentioned the crisis. So is it the kind of thing where if it can develop gradually, people might not be aware of what's happening and end up finding themselves in some kind of a crisis?
Yes.
And then what recommendations, I mean, are there things people should have on hand if they yeah. suspect this could be happening?
Yeah, so if you do have adrenal insufficiency, then you know that you have the diagnosis. So in those patients, we instruct them on sick day rules, which means that they need to increase their hydrocortisone dose.
If they have an infection,
a fever. So you just double, triple. If they go to surgery, we tell them to call us. So we could get further instructions on higher doses of the hydrocortisone. In addition, aside from telling the initial sick day rules, we do tell them that it's a good idea to wear a med alert bracelet or necklace that identify them in case they're ever in a car accident, they're unconscious or something like that. And we also tell them to have a hand injectable corticosteroid called salumedrol. That's one form. And just in case they have a vomiting illness or if they feel very sick, to give themselves an injection. We teach them how to do that. And that could at least get them through for the next several hours until they seek medical help.
So in other words, if they had a problem where they couldn't keep the pills down, is that the idea?
Yes.
And their medicine, they couldn't be taking their medicine on a regular basis due to some kind of nausea or vomiting,
right,
then they needed to have some kind of a syringe to be able to, or some way of giving themselves the medicine on
That's
a regular right. basis.
Yeah.
Is this for life then, basically?
This is for life. And also, not just vomiting. I have one provider that told me that a child developed adrenal glands with a severe diarrheal illness because the pills were just going through and not being absorbed. So you got to keep that in mind, too.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, obviously, hormonal yeah. problems mm-hmm. affect our bodies in such profound ways.
Yeah.
And this is something that isn't very well known
mm-hmm.
and obviously can be mistaken for other things.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, when you have something like chronic fatigue,
yeah.
as we said, there could be thousands of potential
yes.
reasons for it. So I think your key point here is that people should always check out with their physician the potential that this could be a potential part of
yeah.
their medical picture. Thank you so very much for coming in. My guest has been Dr. Roberto Izquierdo, Professor of Medicine and Pediatrics and the Division Chief of Pediatric Endocrine and Diabetes for Upstate Medical University. We have to take a short break. We'll be right back with more HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen. This is FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.